God speaking to us. So I just want to encourage you, be stirring that on and stirring one another on in that, yeah? As it is, and he's like, oh, that scripture, can I read out? I said, you can start today with the scripture. You read the whole thing, honey. Go for it.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you, to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Ah, there's so much in that. And so this is why we can sing songs like this, I Raise a Hallelujah, because we don't do it as a magical potion. There's many people run into the Word of God and promises, you know, almost as a bit of a magical thing, but we do it because we trust in God, amen. We do it because we say of the Lord, he's our refuge, yeah?
I'll raise a hallelujah. Thank you.
check. Darren, are we recording? Because we said we were awesome. Sorry to... the other night, just as I was going to bed, actually, Rake and I were talking. He decided to stop watching the news this week. I just actually don't watch the news in general. I probably stopped watching the news about a year ago. So I don't watch the news. I don't read it. I haven't been keeping up with anything. I don't really care. I trust Anthony to tell me if he thinks there's something I need to know. But as I went to bed, I just said, I just stopped for a moment. I just silenced myself and said, God, what's on your heart? Like, what's something you could give me right now? What, you know, what's something you want to say? And I just got Numbers 23:23. I don't know what that is. I don't know the Bible that well to know what's where. I know what it says. I just don't know where it says it more often than not. And the scripture says, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and Israel, oh, what God has done. So NLT says, no curse can touch Jacob. It's God's people. Are we God's people? No curse can touch them. No, nor magic has any power against Israel. I want this recorded because I know there's a few people reading the articles that say this is a man-made virus. I don't care. Because no magic, no potion, no portion, no curse has a right because of where I stand. Because I am God's child. It's not because I'm standing in some magical thing. I'm his child and he's my king. And this is what he promises. The story here, it says, for now it will be said of Jacob, what wonders God has done for Israel. I really hope. I said this could go one of two ways where shutdown actually means the virus passes or it still is going to get really, really bad and we're actually going to get to the end where it goes, man, look what God did for Israel. Look at the fact that it actually didn't touch any of God's people's houses. Isn't that awesome what God did? I don't want it to go there. I really don't. I would like it to just to be annihilated right now. But I'm like, you know what? Either way, this is where my trust is in God. Because he said it. I was like, man, that's awesome. That's the very scripture he gave me. And then I read the whole chapter. And it's actually where Balaam and Balak. Balak's asking him to curse the people of God. And he couldn't. He goes, go and seek God and I'll seek what I can say over them. And he kept coming back. He goes, I can't curse them because God has blessed them. And I don't know about you, but it tells us when we are under Christ, we are blessed. We are blessed because we're blessed according with believing the righteousness we have like Abraham. If you read it, get in your Bible. I'm like, we are. It is who we are and it is what we have. And we need to stand. We need to rest in that. There's a difference, isn't there? We can go around claiming all these scriptures. God, I thank you. I just rest and just go, God, I just worship you because you're my portion. And I just rest in you because you've blessed me and because I know you protect me, God, and because you've said no curse can touch me because you've said this. So I'm going to share this old song with you. I've sang it a little bit recently, but I want to sing this one at the moment and then Dad's going to take us around communion. Sorry, I was supposed to make some announcements of things that change, but I think we all know where the hygiene standards are, and I'll touch on that a little bit later on. But this one, this is a powerful song I was raised on, and it's been such a key one for my life. Thank you for raising me with this stuff. Oh, the blood of the Passover lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan may bring accusation, I'll let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the guilt of my past.
bring accusations. I'll let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plan. No weapon formed against me shall stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the
Lamb. Words, oh, the blood of the Passover lamb is applied. We'll start off for start. In Hebrews 9, a principle is spoken about here, that there is no remission of sin or forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. There's no cleansing. And through the work of the Lord Jesus, he provided for us spirit, soul, and body. Some people challenge that and say, well, no, we've got our salvation in the cross, but the whole lot was provided for. And two scriptures, Isaiah 53, and it says, next slide there. He was despised, rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, one from whom men hid their faces. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. And you could look at that and go, poor Jesus, he was rejected by men. He was not esteemed. He was despised. But he went through that trauma of men rejecting him completely because he knew the cross set before him was going to provide a way for their salvation. Amen. All of the answers. But he took our infirmities. He carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken of God, struck down and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. I remember hearing a doctor preaching at a camp I was at several years back. And this guy was from America, and he said, I teach at the University of somewhere or other, Philadelphia, I think it might have been from memory. And he said, my major is medical science. He said, how many stripes were laid on the back of Jesus? 39. He said, do you know that if we break every disease up that this world ever had, there are 39 categories of diseases that everything stems into. Wow. 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 Woo-hoo. That is amazing, because God knew. Man didn't know at the time, but God knew that every disease, every affliction would be taken care of. And you know, that same scripture is reiterated. This is almost spoken of. We are healed. And it talks about future tense. But then in 1 Peter 2, it changes the tense slightly. He committed no sin. There was no deceit found in his mouth. Remember what it said about he was despised and rejected? But it says when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. This is past tense. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. That Psalm 91 that was read out earlier on is such an amazing promise of God that was ratified by this celebration we are taking part in now, by the cross of Calvary, by the shed broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And if you take that bread, and Jesus took it and he broke it, he said, this is my body broken for you. They had no idea how amazing that little time they spent with Jesus would have been. He said, take and eat it in gratitude for what Jesus did for our lives when he separated himself to take the sin of the whole world. And on that cross, he actually, for the first time, was separated from the life of his Father. God could not look at his Son. And he cried out in anguish, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it was because the Father just could not look on his Son at that time when the sin of the whole world had been laid on him. But his broken body was the beginning. Take and eat this in the name of Jesus. And after the same manner, Jesus took the cup. He supped and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This ratifies, it seals, and it continually avails. Not like in the old times when the blood of the Passover lamb was put onto a pillar in a doorpost of our house. This Passover lamb has been put into our lives. Amen. And you know, when the Bible says that he ever lives to make intercession for us, he took his own blood and he sprinkled it at the mercy seat before the throne in heaven as an everlasting, ever-living testimony. That blood intercedes for you and I today. That blood is there for you and I to avail ourselves of the life that was poured out for us through that incredible sacrifice of Calvary. Today, Father, we receive this and all of the promises that were ratified through this amazing sacrificial act of your Son, Jesus. By his stripes we're healed, wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment he took gave us peace. Peace with God, peace with this world, peace in every way. By these stripes laid on his back, we were healed. And for every promise afforded in your word, we receive by faith, knowing it was ratified by your shed blood, as we take it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Sing that again, please, Kerry.
Thank you. Can join me in singing this now, because we have the words up, I think.
All the...
We're going to make sure we got it. Here we go. You got to sing the words. They're too good.
Oh, the blood of the Passover lamb is applied to the door of my life. No power of darkness could ever withstand the force of the blood sacrifice. Though Satan will bring accusations, I'll let him know right where I stand. For now there is no condemnation. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm under the blood of the Lamb that covers the guilt of my past. By the mercy of God, holy and righteous I stand. I'm under the blood of the Lamb. I'm safe and secure from the enemy's plans. No weapon formed against me will stand. I'm under this is who.
Lord, we exalt you. We stand in awe of who you are. We extol you today, Lord. God, we go beyond ourselves, beyond circumstances, beyond that what the world will put as limits on us. We go beyond that today, and we say we exalt you, Lord. We don't exalt fear. We don't exalt any anxiousness. We exalt Jesus, King Jesus, the one who was and is to come, the one who is our peace, whose anchor is the one who we are holding on to. He's our anchor. He's our hope. Lord Jesus, come and fill this place with your presence. Let the train of your robe fill this place. Everyone listening right now where they are, God, fill that place with your presence right now. I bind every form of fear in Jesus' name. I bind every distraction in the name of Jesus. Every mind, every thought, I bring it into captivity and subjected to the truth of the Word of God right now in Jesus' name. God, I thank you that we have authority over the power of the enemy. Satan, you might attempt, you might appear to scare us, but you have no authority. And I take the authority of Jesus Christ against you, and I stand against you today in the name of Jesus Christ. And I command you to flee in the name of Jesus. I cast you out. I cast you out of every thought, every mind in the name of Jesus. I break every stronghold that you have over every mind right now in the name of Jesus. Every stronghold of fear, I tear it down in the name of Jesus. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, I tear it down in the name of Jesus. I strip you of your power in the name of Jesus. And you flee right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray that the word that you've prepared, Lord, that you lay it on my heart now, Lord, that you direct my words, Lord, that it be what comes from your throne room for your children today, Lord. Let it be a word that there, where there's no flesh mixed in, no emotions, God, but a pure word coming from heaven in Jesus' name. God, we thank you. We worship you. And we praise you, Lord God. You are wonderful, Lord. You are wonderful. God, I thank you. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. I just feel we need to linger a little bit more. Just linger. Just enter into that prayer. Those who wait upon the Lord, just wait. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Close your physical eyes, but open your spiritual eyes right now and look at Jesus. You need to look at Jesus. He's your provider. He's your protector. He is the pillar of fire around your family. I want you to picture in your mind's eye your family sitting in your home, and there is this whirlwind of fire around your house protecting you. It is not there to scare you. It is there to protect you. That no weapon formed against you shall prosper. God, we come against every form of witchcraft and sorcery that is launched against your church in these times. We cancel it out in Jesus' name. Every curse has already been nailed against the cross of Jesus. Therefore, it is paid for, and we cancel it out in the name of Jesus Christ. Right now, at this moment in time, I cancel it out in Jesus' name. Every sickness under the sound of my voice, be healed in Jesus' name. I command healing in the name of Jesus to flow through the body of Christ Jesus in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time for the church of Jesus Christ not to slumber away, not to cower away, but to rise up. This is the time. This is the time. This is the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish. They were thoughtless, silly, and careless. And 5 were wise, far-sighted, practical, and sensible. For when the foolish took their lamps, they did not take any extra oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delayed, they all began to nod off. Not just 5, all began to nod off. And they fell asleep, but at midnight there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and put their own lamps in order. They put their own lamps in order. They trimmed the wicks and added oil and lit them. But the foolish virgins said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No. Otherwise there will be not be enough for us and for you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy oil for yourselves." But while they were going away to buy oil, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast. And the door was shut and locked. I'm telling you, I'm not saying that you may be seated. Thank you so much. I'm not saying, God put this scripture on my heart before as we're praying. But what I'm saying is what's come upon the church and this world is that. And the church of Jesus Christ will be divided between the foolish and the wise now. You will see it now. We will see it now. With those who were just going to church because it was convenient. Those who loved to have that sticker on their car. But never really filled their lamps with oil. You will see them now. But you will see those who had their lamps filled, who had their wicks trimmed, who were on fire for God, who said, "Seek me while I may be found." He says it in Amos. He says it, "Seek me while I may be found." Seek God. He is still, you're still able to find him. But let this be a precursor for what is coming on the world. Those of you who are sitting here, those of you who are listening and you're thinking to yourself, "I'm worried, I don't know what to do." I want to tell you, you need to seek God like never before. And for those of you who are sitting here and is listening and are feeling that, thank God for where I am. My call to you today is not to sit and feel comfortable. My call to you is to rise up. You need to rise up like never before. This is the time of evangelism. The harvest is ready. You will have opportunities to speak to neighbors, to people in your street like never before. If you bought a lot of toilet paper and you're hoarding it for yourselves, I'm telling you, it's sin. You need to now take that toilet paper and use it as a tool for evangelism and go and hand it out and say, I'm coming with toilet paper to you, but I want to give you the word of Jesus Christ as well. This is not the time for hoarding. This is a time for giving. And I'll tell you what, this is what will set you apart from the world. The world hoards because they don't know if there's going to be enough. My Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs. This week, just this week, we've learned of people that need toilet paper. And you know, we don't have an abundance, but we have enough. So we gave toilet paper. We gave toilet paper. That which is precious in this time, we gave it away. Guess what? The very next day I walked into Coles, there was toilet paper. I was able to buy some. God shall supply. And that's a simple, stupid, silly example, but it is so relevant and practical for today. I'm telling you, use what you have. Let the oil that's in your flask be multiplied now. Now is the time to let that oil flow. Let that oil flow. That widow came to Elisha and said, what shall I do? I'm about to make my last morsel of little bit of bread, and me and my sons are going to eat it and we're going to die. And Elisha said to her, what do you have? What do you have? She said, I've got a little bit of oil. And he said, go and gather as many empty vessels as you can and begin to fill them with oil. And when you're done filling them with oil, then begin to sell them, pay off the debt, and then you will live with your sons. And guess when the oil stopped flowing? She asked the son, give me another vessel. And he said, I don't have any more vessels. It wasn't because the oil ran dry, it's because the vessels were full. Make sure your vessel is always ready to accept oil from God. Keep on and keep on pouring out. Don't worry, the oil's not going to run out. Make sure you keep flowing. The Dead Sea in Israel, it's one of the lowest places below sea level on earth. Nothing lives in it. Yet the river that feeds it flourishes. It flourishes. Because it flows. What's the difference there? The Dead Sea receives water, but it never gives out. You go and study it. You go and study it. The Dead Sea is basically, it just, water comes in, but it never flows out. It basically, it's a basin, it sits there, and everything in it dies. Who are you? Are you that one that just continually gathers and gathers and gathers? You're happy to learn the good news. You're happy to sit under the preaching. You're happy to read about God. You're happy to have all these things. You have all these CDs and tapes and messages and everything just inside of you, but you never give out. That's not life. That's not life. Let the life of God begin to flow in you and let it begin to overflow in you. I have so many, I've got a theme, but I don't really have much prepared as such. So I told Darren I'll just run through some of the scriptures that I've prepared. But I'm here to tell you that I've heard many, many of these online preachers and people that call themselves, I don't know, they love to analyze everything a little bit like journalists, and then they give their opinion. And I've heard so many say, this is God's judgment. Let me tell you what God's judgment looked like. Go and read Revelation. God's judgment is when God is angry and he begins to kill people on earth. He begins. It is ugly. My Bible says, we're not there yet. My Bible says in John 10:10, my Bible says the thief comes to steal. Look at that. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. This sickness is not from God. this virus is not from God, and therefore it has no authority over spiritual people. This is an earthly disease, but the Bible says that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This sickness might come and knock on your house's door, but you have the authority to say, I'm under the blood. I am under the blood, as we just sang in that song. We have been covered by the blood. You must pass over it. You have no authority in my house. I'm telling you, there's so many things when situations like this happen, the status quo changes. Normal life, your daily operating rhythm, everything changes. And the good thing about that is that God is always the same. The world might change, but God is always the same. God is still our protector. He is still our provider. Now, I can tell you that my God works everything out for good. I read in my Bible that he used Pharaoh, who didn't even believe in him, to rescue his children. I read in my Bible that he used King Cyrus to help the Israelites, and King Cyrus wasn't even a Christian. He didn't even believe in God. I read that King Nebuchadnezzar, who's not a Christian, he didn't believe in God. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He helped the people of God. I'm telling you as Christians to stop judging the leaders of our nation and the leaders that is above you, whether they're a Christian or not, and if they're a Christian, which denomination they go to. And I am telling you that my Bible says that you will pray for your leaders. You must pray for your leaders. I don't care who they are. I don't agree with what some of our leaders are saying. I tell you that. I don't agree with that. There's a lot they say and do that I don't agree with. But who am I to say, God, I don't care what you said. I'm not going to pray for them because I don't agree with them. No, no, no. You better pray for them. Now you better pray for them. And learn in these times to pray for your leaders like never before. They need wisdom. They need wisdom like never before. Pray that God will surround them with godly counselors who will give them the right advice, that when this thing calms down, they can say, no, 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 I don't want to listen to my old counselor anymore. Where's that one that told me to do such and such? Bring him. Bring him as a trusted advisor to me. I want to hear what he says. I want to hear what the man of God is saying to us in these times. Stand up, Christian. Stand up. Begin to pray. Why don't we just pray right now for the leaders in the nation? Father God, I bring before you the leaders in this nation in the name of Jesus. I lift up before you Scott Morrison, his whole cabinet and his government. I bring every state government before you and their leaders and their cabinets and every Senate member. I bring them all before you, every member of parliament right now in these times. I bring before you, God, every professor, every medical practitioner who is searching for a cure in the name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord God, that you'll give them wisdom like never before, God. That you'll show them the cures, Lord, in Jesus' name. That you'll show our leaders what to do in these times, what not to do, God. And I pray, God, that you will fill them with boldness, Lord, to rule this nation, God, in the fear of the Lord. And I bind over them a spirit of fear and timidity in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that they will just follow what you want them to do, Lord. You say in your word that the heart of the king is in your hands. And I pray, Lord, right now that you will move their hearts, Lord, to be obedient to your word right now in Jesus' name. Give Scott Morrison wisdom, Lord. Give the medical people wisdom, God, in Jesus' name. And our state governments, Lord, let them rule and operate in wisdom and not in fear. In Jesus' name, we pray for them and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray for these people. Pray for these people. They need God. They need God and they need us as Christians to pray for them now. Whether they believe in God or not, that's not your judgment. That is not your call. Pray. Pray like never before. You know, we talk about good things that are coming out of this. And it's so easy to focus just on the negative that might come out of this. My Bible says in Joel chapter 2, in the last days, He will let the hearts of the children return to the fathers and the fathers to the children. I pray now when we might be under confinement in our homes that the family bonds will be restored. I pray that people will get off devices because the internet is so slow and that they begin to speak to each other in these times. I pray that families are restored, that they are found, and that they begin to operate in a unity like never before. That which the enemy's been working on for hundreds and hundreds of years to destroy families, in a few months, God bring it back together and say, no more. I'm restoring families. Satan, you might send this disease. You've got one plan, but I'll show you how I bring families together out of this. I'll show you how I bring godless people who only prayed when it was really necessary. I'll make it necessary for them all and begin to call on the name of the Lord. I will bring YouTube videos across their paths that will tell them about Jesus Christ. I pray that God will use these times powerfully, and you need to pray with me to restore people and bring His lost children back to Him. This is the time that the church of Jesus Christ need to arrive. If you've been called as an intercessor, intercede like never before. Get some knee patches. Get on your knees. Get in the face of God. Begin to plead for this nation. Begin to plead for the people. Begin to plead for Christians. I pray, one of my prayers is, God, let there be a clear separation between the Christians and the non-Christians in these times. Not so that we can take the higher moral ground, but so that God can get the glory, so that the non-Christians can say, what is it that you have? I want that. How are you so at peace? How are you just so provided for? And let that be an open door. Let that be an open door where you can begin to say, let me tell you. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about my provider. Let me tell you about my healer. Let me tell you about Him. Jesus. God, I pray that you will just reveal yourself like never before in these times. God is saying, I'm going to bring the brothel industry to a standstill. Boom. All these nightclubs and all these ungodly gatherings, I'll bring it to a shut now. Boom. All these places of idol worship, I will shut it down. Satan, you thought you can bring fear to my church. I'll show you how I use what you intend for harm and evil, and I'll turn it around for good. I'm working from home at the moment, and I'm telling you, it's challenging. Yesterday, I just wanted to get out of the house. My wife said, oh, no, I'll go and get the kids. I said, I am coming with you. I am not staying home. I'm getting out of this house. I walk in now and then and say, is there anything you can that I need to help you with? No, not really. She's busy cleaning the cabinets out. I'm thinking to myself, I need to get to do something outside. So I was just tinkering all day outside. I just didn't want to be in the house. But I'll tell you what. For me, guess what I did over lunchtime this week? I grab a quick bite to it, and I begin to walk outside, and I begin to pray. God is restoring prayer in this time. God is shaking His church. God is shaking His church. I saw a number of prophetic people at the beginning of this year. I love one of the things that I like. I watch Sid Roth. Don't watch him too often. But one of the things that I love at the beginning of the year, he normally gets a few prophetic people. And they would have a show where they just prophesy. And they all prophesied that this year is going to be the year that God shakes the church. Little did they know what is coming up. And God is shaking His church. God is shaking His church. And I pray that it will be a wake-up shake. That those who are slumbering, those five virgins that are in the church today, they will not have an excuse when this parable comes true in the future. They will not have an excuse in God and say, God, but you never warned me. He said, do you remember COVID-19? And you decided to just sit back and relax? That was my warning. That was my shaking. That was me showing you, you don't have enough oil. And you chose to stay empty. Therefore, go away. I never knew you because you chose against me. See, that's the thing. God doesn't send his children away. He sent those away who chose against him. God gives everybody the same choice. Different circumstances sometimes, but the same choice. But it's your choice for or against God. Let me put this out there and make it very clear. A lot of people are beginning to call on the judgment of God right now, and God judged the sinners, all these things. My Bible says that you get judged one day. When you die, you're judged not on your sin, but on your decision for or against Jesus Christ. That's what you get judged on. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, if you're not born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. You can't even see the kingdom of God. He didn't even talk about entering it. If you can't see it, how can you get into it? There's another scripture, I forget where it's written, where it says that this spiritual things are foolishness to those who are not saved. So don't come with the deep, heavy things of the gospel and theology now and try to win people. I've got another scripture here. It's much later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I've got to find it now. This is Paul. He's writing. He's saying, as for myself, brethren, this is the Amplified Version. I love reading that. This year I'm reading the Amplified Version. As for myself, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony and evidence or mystery and secret of God. He's saying, and that's the problem. A lot of times I hear Christians, they come and they try to proclaim a mystery and something deep that is hidden to non-Christians. You go, no. He said, for I resolve to know nothing, to be acquainted with nothing, to make a display of the knowledge of nothing, and to be conscious of nothing. He said, I made myself empty among you except Jesus Christ the Messiah and him crucified. And I was in past into a state of weakness and fear, dread, and great trembling after I had come among you. He said, I came weak and meek to you. I didn't come here all puffed up and just, I am the man, follow me, I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, I came so that you can accept me. And my language and my message were not set forth in persuasive, enticing, and plausible words of wisdom, but they were in demonstration of the Holy Spirit and power, approved by the Spirit and power of God, operating on me and stirring in the minds of my hearers the most holy emotions and thus persuading them, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, in human philosophy, but in the power of God. Stop talking, start demonstrating. Stop talking and start demonstrating. Where you always used to tell people about they will get well, stop talking about that. Lay your hands on them and pray for them. Begin to lay hands on people like never before and stop being fearful in yourself and say, what if? Well, what if they get healed? What if they get healed? That'll be that demonstration of power. What if there's a line outside Coles where you're doing your shopping not to buy toilet paper but to get touched by your hand so that they can get healed? Wouldn't that be a testimony? Begin to walk that testimony. Thanks. It's time, and this is what I'm talking about. Now, Darren, just the temperature. Bring me the remote, please. Getting pretty warm up here. It is time for the Church of Jesus Christ to rise up and to demonstrate that which we've spoken about so long. I'm telling you, I spoke to Pastor Ken earlier this week. We have heard enough messages. We sang enough songs. We've sit in enough comfortable chairs and have been cozy for long enough. Now is the time to rise up. You don't need another message. You need to get active. You don't need to hear another song. You already have it in you. Begin to prophesy. Begin to pray. Begin to demonstrate the power of God. Now is that time for us. And I'm telling you, that cannot be done without us putting on our armor. Ephesians chapter 6. This is one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, where he talks about the armor of God. He says, in conclusion, this is the last chapter in Ephesians where he's writing to the Ephesians. He says, in conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Let me just quickly explain to you in the Amplified Bible, if you don't know, that in the square brackets, when you see the square brackets, it basically gives you a different way of translating the word just before it, or the words just before it. So it says, be strong in the Lord. The other way to say it is, be empowered through your union with him. You can't just be strong in the Lord. Like, well, I'm strong in the Lord. How are you strong in the Lord? In your union with him. What union? Fantastic. Psalm 91 verse 1. Those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord that he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He will cover me with his feathers. Picture you and your household sitting there under the feathers of God, where no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He will protect you. No pest or plague shall come near your dwelling. You need to pray that every day. If you've never done this before, let this be lesson 101 for you and your family. Begin to pray. Open Psalm 91 every day. Type it out. Print it out. I don't care. Make it your own. Begin to pray it and say, God, I thank you that no pest or plague shall come near my dwelling. I thank you, God, that even if 1,000 fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I've made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place, no evil shall befall me, nor any plague come near my dwelling. For he gives his angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. He will keep you in all your ways. Stop worrying about your job and everything else. He will keep you in all your ways. Yes, that job, something might happen to it, but he will keep you in all your ways. He will provide. He will open another door. Things are changing. I'm telling you right now, and it's sad to say that it's a situation like this, even in our family, to get to this change, that we don't leave home in the morning before we took communion. We don't. We've taken communion in our house and our home probably more often than a lot of people, but now we don't leave home before we take communion. I tell you that now. I'm not lying. Ask the kids. Every morning, I get one of them, get the communion ready for us. And we do devotion in the morning. And our devotions is amazing. It's like God knew exactly what is needed for today. Those devotions come. We read them. And I talk to them about it. And then we take communion. You know why? Because there's no anti-vaccine or vaccine that can keep me safe. That can't. That's not even discovered yet. Right now, the blood of Jesus. Tomorrow, the blood of Jesus. The day after tomorrow, it's the blood of Jesus. We need to take this time, Christians, to begin to learn to rely and to trust on the Word of God, on the blood of Jesus Christ. You might have a family where there's still people that are not saved. Maybe a husband, maybe some parents. It doesn't matter. Begin to pray for them. Bring them in under your prayer circle. Begin to pray for them. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 12, when he talked about the Passover lamb, we just sang about it. He said, and if it's too much for you, share it with the next house next to you. I'm telling you now, the blood of Jesus is too much for you. It will cover your husband. It will cover your siblings. Begin to pray for them. When they say, wow, we're so fortunate. We didn't get touched by this. We had neighbors in our apartment building that got sick and got locked down. We weren't touched for it. You say, you know why? Because I prayed for you. I prayed for you. We stood here as a family and our children. You can ask my kids. We prayed for you. We prayed for you by name. That is the blood of Jesus. When you were sitting there thinking fearful thoughts, we were praying for you. Stop thinking about yourself in these times. Live outside of yourself. Live and pray for those around you. This is not the time for you to worry about yourself any longer. Jesus himself said so many times, he said, don't you worry, you are my children. Stop worrying what you will eat, what you will wear, all these things. The pagans, they worry about that stuff. Live beyond yourself is what he's saying. Hey, if they want your coat, give them in your undercoat. If they want you to walk 1 mile, give them 2 miles. If they want one toilet paper roll, give them 2 toilet paper rolls. Live beyond yourself. Don't worry about your pantry. I'll keep it full. It is time where we come and we say, Father God, our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you put your hand on that fridge of yours and you say, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. It is time that you come to your pantry and you say, God, I command everything that's in this pantry to multiply in Jesus' name. Begin to walk on the water. Oh, God, I pray for my medicine cabinet, whatever's in here. God, you're my healer. But I thank you, God, that you multiply everything in here, Lord. So that when my neighbors come and they say, have you got Band-Aids for me? My kid's just scraped his knee and I'm out of Band-Aids. Yes, I've got Band-Aids. But I've also got the word of Jesus Christ. Let me pray for him. Begin to live beyond yourself. Begin to live for others around you. Jesus didn't live for himself. He lived for others around him. He said, follow my footsteps. He said that so many times. Follow my footsteps. I probably need to finish. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. After these things, after these reports, the word of the Lord came to your house and say, fear not, my child. Fear not, my child. I am your shield. These arrows that fly by the day, the plague and pestilence that run at night, don't fear them. I am your shield, God is saying. I am your exceedingly great reward. It's amazing. Picture God is just putting that shield around you. He says, I'm your shield. I am your shield. I didn't even finish reading Ephesians chapter 6. Please, please go and read it. I'm going to put it up here, but this is something that I just know off heart because, and I don't know it off heart because I've memorized in the last few days. This has been how I was brought up. This is how I have brought my family up, that I'm raising my children in. And if you've not done this before, I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you right now. Before you leave home in the morning, I'm not even going to read it, but off there. But I want to tell you, you need to know that it's saying that our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and rulers of evil in the air. There is a spiritual world that's at war. You think this virus originated here on earth first? I'm telling you, it was birthed in the spirit. Because one of the biggest things in the Bible, I can tell you, if I write you a letter, if you receive a letter from a lawyer, and it says about 360 times in that letter not to do something specific. Do you think it's important to pay attention to that? There's about 360 times in your Bible where it says, fear not. That's almost one for every day where God is saying, fear not. Fear not. And I'm telling you that Satan and his demons are getting desperate. They are seeing the church of Jesus Christ begin to rise up. And they're saying, what's one of the last final weapons we can throw at them? And it's fear. And fear is a spirit. It says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Now that you know that spirit is a fear, you need to take up your armor against the spirit of fear in your household, in your family. Pray for your family. Pray for the government against that spirit of fear. And you need to say, I bind you, spirit of fear, from entering my household in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not fear, but we will live in boldness. We will walk in boldness. We will not cower away. We will not live in timidity, but we will have a sound mind. When the world is going crazy, we will have a sound mind. That's what we need to pray for. And you say, Lord, I know this is what I'm praying in the morning. So this is Ephesians chapter 6. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. Are we in an evil day of danger right now? Yes. The only way to stand, it says, to resist it and stand. Resist means it's going to come. All right? Right now, if I just start pushing, I'm going to fall over because there's no resistance. Resistance means something is going to come. You're going to feel its effects. And those who do not have the armor of God on are going to be pushed over. And having done all what? Stand your ground on the evil day. Put on God's complete armor. It says, stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins. The belt of truth around your loins. And what he was describing here was a Roman Empire warrior. They girded their loins with a belt of truth. A belt that kept them strong. It was a wide belt. And in that belt, they had sheaths to put in their swords and everything. But put on the belt of truth. What is the truth? Not news.com.au. Not CNN. Not CNBC. Not Fox News. That is not the truth. The truth is the holy living Bible. That is the truth. That is the only truth you need to care about. When you die, CNN will not save you. The Word of God is the only thing that will stand. It will not be enough for you to say, oh, but God, CNN said I should do this. God says, but my word says otherwise. CNN said there's no God. They had this beautiful video God. I believe that video, it must have been true. They even had Stephen Hawking speak on there saying there is no God. God says, no, I've revealed myself to you. I've revealed myself to you through nature. Go read Romans chapter 1. That's the truth. Number one, the truth. If you don't have the truth, you need to find it right now. So God will lead you through different times and seasons in your life. Sometimes it could be financial. Sometimes it could be depression. Sometimes it could be fear. Find scriptures appropriate for the situation you're in right now. If you feel right now you're frightened, you're full of fear, there's so many online tools right now where you can just type in devotions or scriptures for fear, and it will just spit it out at you. Begin to write them down. I'm telling you, copy them, paste them in a Word document. Begin to print them out. Put them on your wall and begin to pray them. And say, thank you, Lord, that you've not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you, Lord, for my husband. Lord, that where he is out there working now, he's been bombarded with all this negativity, that you've not given him a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you for my wife, my children. Begin to pray. Make it your own. That's the truth. You begin to put on the belt of truth. After the belt of truth, the breastplate of integrity or of righteousness. It's of moral rectitude and right standing with God. And that's something the world will tell you through tradition you need to do yourself. Just be a good person. Stop it. You can't be good. The Word of God says the best intentions in your heart is evil before Him. Jesus Christ alone is our righteousness. Clothe yourself, the Bible says in another verse, with a robe of righteousness. You've got to clothe yourself. It doesn't come naturally. You've got to put it on. If you have to put it on, it means it's something you did not have in you. So stop believing the lie of the enemy that he'll use very smart people to say, you've got it in you. You don't have it in you. Settle it now. You need the robe of righteousness. Put it on you. Jesus, I thank you that I can put on the robe of righteousness. And Lord, there is nothing good in me. Your word says that my best works are like filthy rags before you. But Lord, I thank you that you died on the cross of Calvary for me and that your blood covers me now and that the blood of Jesus Christ makes me stand righteous before the living God, that I can enter into your throne room with boldness now, Lord, because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Take that toilet paper roll to your neighbor with singing and dancing. Be ready because you've got the good news. You carry good news. Imagine if you carry a vial of vaccine, an antidote for this, and you know your neighbor's got it, you'll be running to them. Look what I've got. You have got that in you right now. Look what I've got. I've got the good news. You don't have to lock your doors and speak to people from 5 meters away. I can speak to you in the boldness of Christ. You don't have to. And you can begin to share the good news. That will give you boldness. Lift up over all. This is very important. Covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. The shield of faith. Jesus was talking to his disciples one day and they said, Lord, increase our faith. And you know what? That is not a bad prayer to pray. Say, Lord, just in these times, I've never exercised that muscle of faith. Please increase my faith. Please increase my faith now, Lord. I take up the shield of faith, Lord. I stand in faith for my family. Everything in the world says that we're going to get it, but I stand in faith. We will not get this in Jesus' name. I don't care what CNN says. They're not my God. I don't care what the medical physicians say. They're not my God. God, I bow my knee to you. And I stand humbly before you. And I believe and I trust you that my family will not be touched by this plague in Jesus' name. And take the helmet of salvation. Also talks in another scripture of the helmet of hope. Hope. Salvation. Salvation is our hope. And the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints. You know, Jesus called us, in his word, he calls his followers a royal priesthood. I think it's the Apostle Peter that wrote it, actually. But the whole scripture was breathed by God. So God said that you are priests. Now let me tell you one thing. When you look at the role of a priest, their purpose was to intercede on behalf of others for God. And the others they were interceding for did not necessarily obey God, obey the truth. They might have had good intentions, but as a priest, we now need to stand for our nation. We need to stand for our rulers, for our leaders, for our neighborhoods, for our neighbors. We need to stand as a priest, as it says they're interceding on behalf. It says Jesus intercedes on our behalf before the Father today. That's what's happening today. Now let us be that priest in our neighborhood that stand and intercede for our neighborhood. Instead of walking around and driving around your houses in your neighborhood and saying, I wonder what they're doing, begin to drive with boldness and say, God, I thank you that you've placed me here in this neighborhood for a time like this, and I'm praying for these houses that the blood of Jesus will protect them. I don't care whether they know you, Lord, but Lord, let your good news come to these houses. Protect them, shield them, and let that be a message of hope, a message of hope. We carry in us the message of hope. And don't worry about not being able to meet in churches. You be the church. This is simply a building. This is how revival starts. This is it. Pray for revival. Pray for revival like never before. This might be what God uses and say, I'm going to shut these churches down because they've become little towers of idolatry in the neighborhoods and in the cities where they are, and I want to send my people into their neighborhoods. I'm going to put a spiritual lock on that door and say, don't come in here anymore. Go meet in your home. Call your neighbors over. Share the gospel with them. Let them come to your house or go to their house. I always find it interesting that I genuinely don't understand. I've got nothing against the assembly of the brethren and churches, but Jesus said, go into all the world. Preach the good news. He didn't say, go and build a church. He said, you are the church. Now go into the world. That's how Christianity started. And every time they started getting comfortable in a place, guess what God did? He sent persecution there, and they dispersed. This might be just that last time that God says, I'm going to disperse my children into the neighborhoods before the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ, where he comes and gets his bride. I want to give that neighbor one more chance. I want to give that neighborhood one more chance. And the way I'm going to do it, I'm going to send them in there so that Sunday they might not be able to come to church, but there's a Christian there that can tell them about the good news. We've got every opportunity now to meet people that we've never met with before. Use it. Use it wisely. I want to close it there. I have about 20 other scriptures that I could have shared, but if you're taking notes, I want you to go and read the following passages in the Bible. Isaiah 43, from verse 1. To 19. You can read the whole chapter, but Isaiah 43, please. Read Psalm 23. Read Psalm 91. And I want to challenge you. Put something in your house. You say, for the next 30 days, I'm going to pray Psalm 91 over my house. I'm going to pray Psalm 91 over my house. Start there. You will, at the end of 30 days, you will know Psalm 91 like that. Isaiah 43, Psalm 23, Psalm 91. Ephesians chapter 6, go read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 3 to 7, talks about the weapons of our warfare. It's not physical. I'm going to put this one up. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have overcome and conquered him by means of the blood of the Lamb. That's a capital L. It's Jesus. By the blood of Jesus and by the utterance of their testimony. For they did not love and cling to life even when faced with death, holding their lives cheap till they had to die for their witnessing. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Get a testimony. This is a time of testimony making. You can make testimonies in this time like never before. Stop talking about yesterday. Start talking about today. Today, this is my witness. This is my testimony. Luke 21, verse 25 to 28 says, "And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and stars, and upon the earth there will be, on the earth there will be distress, trouble and anguish of nations in bewilderment and perplexity, without resources, left wanting, embarrassed, in doubt, not knowing which way to turn, at the roaring of the tossing of the sea, men swooning away and or expiring with fear and dread." There's again Jesus warning us. In the last days, there's going to be fear on this earth. An apprehension and expectation of the things that are coming on the world. That sounds a lot like today. "For the very powers of the heavens will be shaken and caused to totter. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great transcendent and overwhelming power and all his kingly glory, majesty and splendor." Verse 28, "Now when these things begin to occur," Jesus spoke a lot. He ran through a big timeline right there. But he says, "When these things begin to occur, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption, your deliverance is drawing near." So when you begin to see these things coming upon the earth, look up. Don't look down. Don't look at your wallet. Don't look at your job. Don't look at the internet. Look up. Daniel 12. This one always intrigued me. "But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Then many shall run to and fro and search anxiously through the book. And knowledge of God's purposes as revealed by his prophets shall be increased and become great." We are living in a time right now where God's knowledge about his word is so increased like never before. I'm telling you, I don't think I'll be far off when I say in the last 10 years there's been more revelation about the word of God than the preceding 200 years. There's just an overwhelming abundance of increase of knowledge about the word of God. But this, when he's talking about, he says, "Then many shall run to and fro and search anxiously." You've got to understand, when this was written by Daniel, back then they wore these long robes. And to run in that time and culture was a sign of anxiety and fear. And he said here, they ran to and fro. It's like they, like chickens just running around. That's a picture I'm getting. He's talking about a time of anxiousness here. And that doesn't have to be us. But if you look at the world right now, they're running to and fro. Can we get a cure? Can we get this? Can we get toilet paper? Can we get bread? Can we get this? This is the time where they're just running to and fro. We're in those times now. We need to be anchored in God. Romans chapter 8. It's the last one I'm going to read. I'm going to close off with this. "For all who are led by the Spirit are the sons of God." This is verse 14. I'm reading from verse 14. "For the Spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear." Talks about the spirit of fear there. "But you've received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God." It's the Holy Spirit in us that assures us that we are sons of God. Not some teaching or theology, not because I did something or feel a certain way. The Spirit testifies within us that we are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. I'm telling you, if you're an heir, it means you inherit something. And Jesus Christ did not die for you to inherit sickness and death. that is sent by the enemy. Okay? Only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. And don't forget that. If we're going to share in his glory, he's telling us we will also share in his suffering. Enough of this nonsense, soft, cushy Christian messages, come to Jesus and all your problems will disappear. No, he says only we must share his suffering if we are to share his glory. Go read your Bible and see what the suffering of Jesus was. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. There's a big demonstration there. This is not I'm reading it and I'm hiding it in my heart. It's conferred on us. It is revealed to us. It's revealed in us. Verse 19, for even the whole creation waits expectantly and longs earnestly for God's sons to be made known. Waits for revealing the disclosing of their sonship. How's it disclosed? By you hiding in a cave? No. It is disclosed by you walking in the power of God. It is by you walking in an opposite spirit of this world. When they are fearful and dreadful, we walk in stability because our God doesn't change. It doesn't mean that fear will not come to us. It means it will come to us, but it must flee because we are subject and children of God. I'm going to close it there. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are alive, that you are truth, that you reveal yourself to us in these times. God, I pray for every person here and every person listening, every person that couldn't make it to church today, Lord, for whatever reason, that you would give your angels charge over them right now, Lord. God, I pray for peace in every household in the name of Jesus. I speak to every troubling mind right now in the authority of Jesus Christ, and I command every restless thought to come at peace right now in Jesus' name. Where there is uncertainty, God, I thank you that you bring certainty right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, that you bring provision. Lord, I thank you that our cups run over. I thank you that we have more than enough. Lord, that we have the river of living waters flowing out of us, Lord, and that we can go into this world, Lord, and share the gospel. God, I pray for a supernatural anointing from heaven upon each person, Lord, in Jesus' name, each person here in this building, God, each person listening, God, that where they walk, where they go, healing comes. Healing goes before them. Healing is in the wake behind them. Everywhere they go, healing comes. Whoever they get in contact with, Lord, I thank you that the blood of Jesus Christ and the healing power and the anointing of Jesus Christ rest upon your children, Lord, that they don't receive anything negative, but they give life wherever they go in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, that sickness is healed. Viruses dies, bacteria die wherever they go, and healing flourishes, life flourishes wherever they go. Those who work in hospitals, I thank you, God, that people are just raised out of beds, come off ventilators, and all those things, Lord, that the enemy tried to bind them with. They are freed and set free, and all to the glory of our God. I thank you, Father, that you bring stability, God. I thank you, God, that you protect jobs, that you protect finances, Lord God, and that you don't just protect it, that you bless us in these times. You bless your church to prosper, not for ourselves, Lord, so that we can bring the message of good hope into the world, that we can take it wherever we go, Lord, to the glory of our Father, so that men will see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. I pray, God, that your name will just be glorified in these times. And God, I pray for revival. I pray, Lord, that there will be a spiritual revival across the globe, across the world, Lord, in churches, that they will wake up, Lord, that your power will be demonstrated, God, and that there will just be a cry out to you, Lord, and that where people cry out to you, Lord, that you will meet them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for salvations, Lord. I thank you, God, for a billion soul harvest in these times in Jesus' name, that souls will be saved like never before, God. And Lord, that your church will rise up and grow stronger and stronger like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. We give you the glory, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everyone.